right, we're almost to the end of the week. We are on day 24, and yay, we're in the Psalms, guys.
We get to
hang out in the Psalms for a couple days.
Well, Psalms is, it's kind of the middle of the Bible, so
yeah.
Not in day-wise, but in moving our way through.
Yeah.
We're kind of getting halfway through in these next couple weeks. So
I think it's important to just kind of lay the groundwork for the Psalms a little bit. As they are the songs of God's people.
Yeah.
And they kind of give us a way, maybe a language, maybe that's a better way to put it, for approaching God.
They do.
And I think it's important, like we read in Job, that lament is part of that too. We can lament. I think sometimes we're scared to do those things.
Yeah.
You know?
There's a couple of things the Psalms teach us. One, they're poetry.
Yes.
Right? So we don't take it exactly literally.
Right.
Right? When he's talking about drowning in his bed because of his tears, he's not really crying that much.
Yeah.
But it's the idea of poetically expressing these things. And Psalm is very real emotionally. Like, we get raw emotion, we get anger, we get frustration. Mm-hmm. There's a psalm where David is like, why in the world do all of the wicked people seem to do well?
Yeah.
It drives me nuts. And you know what? I get that, because it drives me nuts too.
Yeah.
But we also see the trust in God, even in the midst of these difficult feelings, that we trust God. So,
yeah. So they kind of give us a good outline, maybe, to worship, to complain, to grieve, to, thank God for all the different ways that we interact
with
him.
And the Psalms get skipped a lot because they're poetic and not everybody likes that, but they're very valuable and important. And Psalm 1 just sets this very clear stage, right? About here's what integrity looks like.
This is one of my favorite ones.
Yeah, here's what integrity looks like. Here's what wickedness looks like. So, and there's a clear end for righteousness and there's a clear end for wickedness. Behavior has a lot to do with it, and heart has a lot to do with it. So like it starts, blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked, right? Don't stand with sinners. Don't hang out with those people. Don't keep company with mockers. What do you do instead? Delight in the law of the Lord, right? Meditate on it day and night. When you do that, then you're like the tree that's planted right by the water, right? You always have nourishment.
Yeah.
You always are bearing fruit.
Your roots are saturated in God's word.
There you go, right? This is the way it is. And the Lord will watch over you, right? He's going to rebuke the wicked, and they'll come to judgment, but he will bless the righteous. And so, Psalm 1 is exceptional in that. And then we look at Psalm 8, and Psalm 8 is this just poem of praise. It's like, hey, God, you are the creator, and you are majestic.
It points to the cultural mandate.
Yes. You've set your glory above the heavens, right? Like yes, this is, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, what is mankind that you're mindful of us? Who are human beings that you care for us? It talks about making us a little lower than the angels for a time, right? And the reason that we're lower than the angels is because we're not in the spiritual realm with God.
We see that again in Hebrews, don't we?
Yes, it comes back in Hebrews.
Yeah.
But it's this idea that you've given us this prized position in your creation, right? We are the crown jewel of your creation. And here is the psalmist is just saying, like, how in the world did we get that lucky? Who are we that you should care about us like you do? But he does. And then one of my favorite psalms is 19.
Yeah.
And I love Psalm 19 because it basically tells us that nobody has an excuse. It kind of gives us a glimpse of what Paul's talking about in Romans 1, that nobody has excuse because the natural world screams about the fact that God is real. The more we discover in the natural world, the more we discover how fine-tuned the universe is and how fine-tuned Earth is for life and how intricately made we are, the more we shouldn't question that there is a God who creates everything, right? The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim his workmanship. Like it just goes in this, like they pour forth speech. They dazzle and reveal knowledge. They don't use words and there's no sound, but their voice still goes out. Like it's just this idea that when you see creation, you should clearly know that there is a creator, mm-hmm. and that God is in control of all things, and that that's the way that it works. It testifies about the reality and that God wants to be followed, mm-hmm. right? And so there's a shift that happens in Psalm 19, kind of in verse 7, that goes from the earth proclaiming God's mm-hmm. glory to this idea that the law of the Lord is perfect,
mm-hmm. yep.
and it's good for you. And it refreshes your soul. So it's basically, there is a God and you can't escape him. Don't ever say, nobody will ever get to say, God, we didn't know you were real. Like people will tell you God's not right. real, but his creation will mm-hmm. say God is real. And then that God wants to be followed, right? Deserves to be followed. Mm-hmm. His law is perfect. It refreshes the soul, right? It makes wise the simple. The precepts, the laws of the Lord are right, and they actually bring joy. They're more precious than gold, more pure than gold. They're sweeter than honey, and we're to follow them. So I love the way he walks through that in Psalm 19. It is one of my favorites. God is real. You can see it, mm-hmm. and he deserves to be followed, and following him will actually bring you the joy that you're looking for. And then we wrap up today in one that everybody knows, probably the most famous psalm.
Yeah, I was going to say it.
Psalm 23.
Very familiar.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I love that he makes me lie down in
yes.
green pastures, right? Because I don't want to lie down.
Right.
Right? Shepherds mm-hmm. aren't, I mean, they're gentle and they're loving, mm-hmm. but they're not always gentle, mm-hmm. right? I mean, shepherds have to... I mean, if you ever read about shepherds, you see they use that crook on their staff to mm-hmm. physically move the sheep where they need to be. They force them to lie down. They force them into places where they're going to be safe and nurtured and cared for. And basically, God is saying, I'm the good shepherd. Jesus tells us that. I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep. And God's telling us here that he's the shepherd and he knows us and that he is committed to taking care of us. And therefore, when we walk through this life that is temporary and scary and hard, that we don't have to be afraid because we know that our shepherd is the one guiding us. Sheep obviously aren't thinking this through because they're sheep, mm-hmm. But they don't have to worry about where they go. They just have to trust the shepherd that's leading mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. God's saying the same thing for you guys. Listen, I'm going to make you lie down. I'm going to prepare a feast for you in the presence of your enemies. I'm going to anoint your head with oil. You're all good. You just have to follow me, the good shepherd. Mm-hmm.